Okay, so we're holding here Umesertes Yuma, I think, right?
Yep,
Umesertes Yuma. It says Vidabar Tumbum Veloy Bidvar Machirin. By the way, just like Agav Urcha to what he's saying over here, I heard a fascinating interpretation or pshat. There's a big tzaddik Nezisor Abdoiv Yafir. He's a Mashkir Kfar Sidim from Zikni Bala Musa, and his children, some of his children on the Meyeshiva, they're head of Beis Medrash, whatever. And one of them was with me together in Esha Torah. And there was a fellow in Esha Torah who got married and decided not to speak any Dvarim, any Divrei Chulin with his wife. You know, he was being makbin al tar b'sich hamisha, and it created a bit of a rift. And I was very strong about him, that, you know, whatever. But he told me I was speaking to him about it, and he told me that his father, as a bacha, once came to Chazon Ish and told the Chazon Ish that he would like to make a campaign of a dibarta bum, that yeshiva bachim would speak only divrei Torah hol zman, or something like that. And the Chazon Ish didn't say it, didn't respond. The next time he came to the Chazon Ish, to Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish took him for a walk, and he sort of schmoozed with him about the new housings and the roads, and, you know, stuff like that. When he finished, the Chazon Ish turned to him and said, Berale, Berale, Dov, in Yiddish, Berale. He said, Sichas Chulin is a human need. The trick is to know the measure of it, how much. In other words, conversation is not luxury. It's a human need to be connected to people. The difference between Sichas Chulin and Dvar Metelem is that Sichas Chulin means it's just not Divrei Torah, but it's necessity and normal human interaction. Dvar Metelem is when you have nothing better to do and you're just kind of what do you call it, chewing the fat, chewing the rag, or whatever expression you use to describe when a person is basically doing nothing with the speaking. I could put just a side point, not really his point. Now he explains what's the reason. Pirish, ki ha'odom yoytze lefoil adeh dibur k'ma shizbayar. Dibur is something that brings out a certain nekud of the Adam. The Adam, in terms, let's explain this point. I don't know if we explained it well last time. You have Olam HaMachshava, HaDibur, and Maisa. Olam HaMachshava is totally Bekoach. It's something which doesn't have any in itself, it's not really part of the physical world. So it's only potential. That's all machshava is. It's potential one way or another. The Rambam says that there aren't many mitzvahs associated with it. The other Rishonim ask, there are mitzvahs. But the point is, it normally machshava, for most inyanim, is just the potential to bring out something. There are two eifanim in which a person brings out something. One is that the person brings it into Olam HaMaisa, and another one is Olam HaDibur. In our mind, Olam HaMaisa is by far superior. Tzaddikim are Omer Matvol Sim Harbe. We certainly don't have much sympathy for people who talk a lot and don't do much about it. So anything that needs to be done, certainly the saying I will do it is at best some sort of achana, and at worst it's some sort of substitute. But what you're really trying to do is you want to bring it to Maisa. But there are many things, Lamash, like Divrei Torah and so on, where the avoda lies in concretizing the machshava by bringing it into Olam HaDibur. So a person had tremendous feelings of Hakaras HaTov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tremendous feelings of Hishtoymimus at Niflos HaBorei, and so on. All of those, so long as it's in his mind, it has yet to be concretized. When a person says Shira, when a person says Tehillah, Bakasha, when any time a person brings it into Olam Hadibur, that is actually concretizing it. There's one concretization when it takes on a physical avush. There's a second concretization when it takes on a fully expressed view. So in the world of the of Divrei Torah, it's like sometimes you ask a question, let's say like in class, and a kid will give an answer where you know that he understands the point and he understands what the answer is, but he doesn't say it right. And you value very much the one that says it with a certain degree of precision, that you actually have, it's actually, that is the machshava. It's come down in a very, very solid way, and I have it in the world of words. It's maila over the world of maisa. And again, we're not talking where you're substituting for maisa, but there are two avodos. There's one avodo to say to myself, this person needs help, and then you go and you help him, schlep, pull, whatever it is. That is the world of maisa. There's another world where everyone has religious feelings. Everyone has all sorts of good intentions. But when you're able to put into words, then you have it in a much more real format. That's why when a person feels kind of religious and feels good about something, it doesn't last much because it's not all that concrete. When a person is able to express it in dibur, in Shira, in halal, whatever it is, that becomes a lot more part of a person's personality because there's a certain concreteness to it. It's concrete, it's solid, and so on. Now there's a second mila. There's a mila in that over the first one. First of all, those type of inyanim that can express itself in maisa are by nature more physical, simple activities, as opposed to those things where the primary avodah express it in machshava. That requires, those are usually abstract things. They're coming from, we'll use the term, a higher world, and bringing that down into some physical appearance of words, of svara, of diburim, is a big avodah. And that's why that avodah is so chashev. It relates more to Tzuras Adam in the sense that we're taking something that's very, very high up and bringing it down to words in our world. So there's a tremendous maila in that. There's another maila in Dibur, that Dibur is much, in a certain sense, you are retaining the original point much more than we translate to Olam HaMaisa. The Olam HaMaisa is I went ahead and I helped a person, I don't know, put a roof on his house. I stood there and banged nails with him and so on. I helped him push something or lift something. So the machshava to that is a prompt. It's A caused B. So the machshava, by moving to the next phase, express itself in action. Diburim are the machshava. They're the machshava with the levush. They're machshava using the words to express it, but there's something much more. I actually have succeeded in bringing down Olam HaMachshava itself into this world. I can talk about things that are abstract, and yet these words are part of our world. They're musagim that have become defined to some degree or whatever. So there are milas in bringing that out, lefoa le dibur. And Adam expresses himself mostly, what's unique about Adam expresses itself mostly in dibur. So a Balchai's machshavas are of a very simple and limited kind. There's food over here. Run to the food, get the food, bring it home. Scare off the predator and so on. Those are simple machshavas, and it realizes itself. So since the animal is a physical being, it realizes itself with the physical accomplishment. So when the animal is able to get food, stay away from predators, and look for shelter, it's realized itself. It's fine. A human being needs to realize himself through koach hadibur, because what makes him uniquely human is the ability to be teifis dvarim that are berumish olam, inyanim that are beyond. And inyanim that are beyond don't really have a physical expression, and their expression is simply the dibur that came out of it. So Adam is yotzel lefoal aydei Torah. So, since the musagim that Adam was specifically created to translate into the musagim of our world, on musagim ruchim. So therefore, it's only in Torah that a person realizes himself when there's dibur in the Torah. So I guess according to this, we understand the pasuk dibatam bum v'lo b'dvar macherim means that you as Adam should be speaking only the Torah, because that's realizing yourself. But Rambam zal be pesha prokim hu sheikh bin yadibur. Pesha prokim means his pirish on Pirkei Avos. That's what he calls prokim. Hu sheikh bin yadibur shtika vati shere. He has a long piece on dibur and shtika, and I will quote him. And he does quote him at length over here. I'm never sure. I guess the assumption was people didn't have this for him. But he says like this. Kishayar be... That the reason why you marbe chet with dibur is because most diburim are extraneous, they're really unneeded, unnecessary, and just waiting for trouble, so to speak. So he says, it's relatively easy to control your maisim, because it's something that requires some deliberation, some very very defined maisa. When it's diburim, there's no easy control it. So he says, "Ki kishe yir ba adam dvarim yifshal kol panim, she efshe shleir ba dvarav dibu echot shen roi la amroi." It's impossible that a person didn't add in one thing that's not roi la amro. Umimov se achachamim, it is a sign of a chacham miut hadvarim, speaking less. Umimov se asichlim, it's a sign of a fool roi vadvarim. Shem kol ksil. All Chazal also say that a person who doesn't speak much is a miyuchas. Amru, they said miyuchas, the bubble shtikusa, that the fact that the person was shulsek, he's not. It's a raya that he is a miyuchas. Now, over there, it's a little bit of a stretch, because the over there we're talking about keeping quiet in terms of, you know, somebody calls you a pgam of some sort, you know, so I'm not sure quite what the tzushal is over there. It's something there's a whole case over there. Somebody was, he called somebody else a name, and the question was, did he respond to the name or not? It's a good point about shtika, but it has nothing to do with shtika in general. It's a lot more it's very, very specific shtika. He says,
just a quick question.
Yeah.
Too much speech, the person kind of empties himself out, right?
Yes.
If there's less, it kind of builds inside. Could you be metarits or something like that? That he held himself inside in a certain sense.
You're trying to respond as to why, even though it's talking about a case of yichus.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the explanation? What are you trying to?
There, what you said, the Gemara there is what, speaking about somebody cursed him, whatever, he didn't answer
right.
him.
What's right.
the case?
I mean, he called him a name in terms of his yichus and so on. Yes.
But Lecher, the fact that he didn't empty himself out, he kind of, there's a certain containment of the mensch. You know, that's a certain mila. I don't really know how to describe that anymore, but that's what it seems to me.
Yeah. Could be. It prevails. The Ram seems.
I mean, just from the other side, what does it mean? If a person talks too much, it's a certain zeal. I don't know what it is. It's an emptiness.
So it's an emptiness because the dibur is no longer an expression. Let's give an example. A normal person will give a handshake and a hug to someone that he likes. A politician does it about 10,000 times a day. So for a normal person, since one doesn't go around normally just hugging people, I guess unless like a Kalach person, that gesture is an expression of something. When a person just does it without, you know, a person gives you a compliment and you know his words are sparse, so he doesn't know, so those words mean something. The other person, that's the way he says. You say something, say, oh, how nice. It's wonderful, it's great, it's fantastic. It doesn't mean anything. So in general, that's very specific. In general, diburim are a shleimus of Adam if that's what the dibur is by the person. If the person is a talker, it means that he enjoys talking as an activity in its own and not as, it's not expressing anything. Because there can be just X amount to express. I had a neighbor of mine who, in Eretz Yisrael, he was a son-in-law by Nesiva Shalom, by Shom Noach, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe afterwards of Slonim. So he told me that, you know, they're chassidim, so they go on short dates, not on long dates, not many dates. But he said that the Rebbe once told him, he heard that a Litvish Rebbe came to him and said he'd met the girl for 5-6 hours and this question, that question, and the Rebbe was like, kind of, he said, you know, he doesn't know anyone who, if forced to speak for 5 or 6 hours, wouldn't start speaking Narishkeiten. He doesn't know the person who has enough chachma to keep himself going 5-6 hours of non-stop talking based on chachma. So yes, it's empty in the sense that the dibur stops representing any hotzol lepoel of machshava. So he says like this: most extra speeches become some dava asa. Kikeshiyar be'adam dvarim yivshal kol panim. She efshashleib dvarav dibur echashir alaimri. If you talk at length, you're going to be saying something inevitably that you shouldn't have said. it is one of the signs of a chacham, miut hadvarim, less words. The word Sefer Midos, when the Maral quotes it, it means Arche Sadikim. When the Rambam is quoting it, which is, this is a quote from the Rambam in the first Perek of it, Sefer Midos usually means Aristotle's Nicomedean Ethics or one of those. That's what Sefer Midos is. It's not, there's nothing else that he's referring to. And this is a quote from Rambam, still quoting Rambam. Near Shesik Habashay Medabe, Mashayn Roy La Omro, Medabe Mat Mizer. For Amrlo, so people inquired of him, Masi Basoev Shtikuscha, why are you so quiet? For Amrlo, he said, Bechanti Advarim Etzasi Nechlokim Vaal Chalokim. I've seen that words are divided into four categories. Hachele Karishin Hu Kulei Nezik, Mi Bilti Te Elis. One is something that's all bad. Kiklolas Pnei Odom B'Divri Nevol Ogeitzven Shad Dvarim Behem. When you say things that you shouldn't say, that are bad. Hachelka sheni, yesh bo nezek mitzad echad, v'toel zad echad. It's good in some ways, it's bad in some other ways. Keshebo adem chlekal bo te'elas, v'hoye b'shvacha hu, ma sheyach esoyne v'yaz mi sheshavchoy. So, it should be kesheshavach ademechad. I have kesheshbo ademechad. I don't think it's right. I think it's kesheshibeach ademechad. The kavod to elis. You know what? I could actually look up in the Rambam. Pretty sure that's the makes the most sense. Bishvach, yeah, of course. Bishvach ademechad. The kavod to elis. He is meshabeach a person for to elis. And there are issues where it affects other people negatively. That's the type of diba that even though there's parts of it that are important, but there are parts of it that are damaging, destructive, and you need not to speak it because of that. There are things that are parva. How do you build a wall like that? So there are many diburim don't affect people, not positively, not negatively. Speak about it. To speak too much of it, certainly is not to us. V'chelek ravi dvarim shekulam to us kidvarim chachmes umaylis. So there are things that a person can speak about what's miyuchad about the person. In other words, the spark of ruchnis that is the person, the burma that is a to'elas. Whenever I hear conversation, whatever, I sit through it. If I find that these are words of Dibri Chachma, you know, like number four, then I'll speak about it. So the Chacham says that I will try to keep only to Dvarim that are pure type. And when they investigate, they found that he speaks 75% less than other people speak. This over here is the let me see if this is the Rambam or it's coming. This is the this is the Rambam continuing, where he's being misyachis to the words of Aristotle. I guess he says, I divide into five. Hachelik harishon, daniel shadiyachol v'chiyoter lahechol mitzvah nizhar nimas nehav umuta. That which you're obligated, that which you want, that which is considered ugly, that which is loved, and that which is mutter. Hachelik harishon mitzvah hi kriyas haTorah v'limuda or kriyas Talmuda. V'zuhi mitzvahs esei mechuyeves v'dibarta bom. V'hi shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. V'kvar ne'ama min azhara b'limud mashadoch z'achibok k'tzosik. So the first one is pure Talmud Torah. A person is describing with his words inyanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and so on. That is that's mitzvah and that's chiyuv and so on. Then he says achelik hasheni wa dibur ha'nesav and he's a menek ed sheked v'asheker chesak v'aklola. These are all things that fit in the category that is asa. So you have chiv and asa. V'chelak ha'shlishi hu hadibur hanimus asher ein bo. I'm sorry. If I nizer menu is eid shekesh chilos klala v'divatori mayim al zechelak v'chein nivus ha'pev l'shnar. So these are all halachas. In other words, this category is a halachic category. Things that are asa. Now, besides halachic categories, hachelik hashlisha diba nimos, hashem etal sol minashe ba'avera, kiroiv sipa amoin b'mashe'ira mashahoya, umahim min hage melech ploini be'cholai, ve'echoy esibas movas ploini, o'echis asha ploini. Ve'elu kormos hacham sicho b'teilo. V'achasidim hishtadu ba'atzol niyach z'achelik v'nadibur. Now let's talk about this. This is stam very very it's a very important distinction, because today everybody goes by the book. You know, does it say it's mutter? Does it say it's asa? What's the halacha over here? What's the marker? What's the this and that? There is no sense that there might be something beyond. If it says it's mutter, it says it's mutter. Get isurim on me that don't exist. There's no such isurim. So where are you coming from? There is something which is mos. In other words, Torah itself has halachas. It also has an expectation that we extrapolate from the halacha to a world of ayete ben Hashem or not. The to say that something fits the letter, but I didn't learn anything about the spirit of the law, is means that I'm not a bardas bichlal. So if I tell you, let's give a weird example, but it'll fit. Let's say I have to buy a gift for somebody who's very very fancy, and I tell him, I warn him, listen, this person, you have to bring something from Saks Fifth Avenue, nothing less will do. I'm assuming that that's the expensive stores. I'm not quite buying shopping one. So I go there, and I look around, the prices are quite stiff, and then I say, I got a great idea. I'll get a shopping bag that says on a Saks, and I'll bring him that. I mean, the person told me to bring Saks Fifth Avenue, so here we go. Yossel de Goylem, the morals, the so-called morals Goylem, you know, he did exactly as he told him. There wasn't anything more than that. Mos means that Torah itself, through the different halachas, creates in me an aesthetic sense of what I like and what I dislike. meaning what HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like. So if from the Torah's Kepeda that we need to speak, that Dibur is very, very holy, and it's very important, and it's got halachas of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. So just like wasting my time or my actions runs contrary in a deep way to what Torah is and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be, wasting my words and just talking about something that makes no difference, and it's just talking incessantly about sports, about this, about that, the other thing, is also something which is most. So from the fact that the Torah gave halachas as regarding Dibur, one should be able to extrapolate that there's a chilek that's most, and is the derech hachacham, that one does not engage in dvar ma'usim. And the problem is today everybody has this thing about where does it say and who says, and you know, which shita and different shitas. It starts with what says, but it ends with what can you learn from what it says. And there's nothing here that, you know, we have to be able to say, what do we learn from these things? And that's called mos. So when people speak dvarim shel, they have no tachlis, they do not bring any chachma to the world, any understanding, any use or anything. V'nem, it says, al rav talmido shabchia, shaloi sach sicha betel miyamav. So it says that Reb Chiya never spoke a sicha b'teila. I once heard from Ramay Shapiro, he said on this Rambam. Now, the lashon of the Rambam is a bit different than he has it over here. It actually is... Let me find the Rambam here. I believe that it says in the Rambam we have, it says Rav Talmid Rabbeinu Akadish Shaleisach Sicha Betelo Kol Yamav Vizui Sich Zoy Vadam. So Maisha asked, what's this Rav Talmid Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Like, if you don't know who Rav is, it's not going to help you, the introduction, Talmid Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So, what's this introduction, Rav Talmid Rabbeinu HaKadosh? That's the question, yes. Now, the truth is, very, very balabatish, I think there's a simple teretz. And that is, if it would have just said Rav, I would think it means a Rav. In other words, if the Rambam says Rav, I wouldn't be so clear to me that it's referring to the Amora called Rav. So that's simply, I think that's the most pashta reason why it says Rav Talmid Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But Ramesh wanted to points, which I think were very good. One is that it's Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he was called Kaddish because he was not nene from anything in this world. In other words, everything in this world was a pu'ula of mitzvah. There wasn't any waste in his maisim. Rav Moshe specifically was speaking at the time about Keri, and Leroy Kerry, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was called Kaddish because he was very nizer in the Yanim of Kedusha, and therefore he had a whole maracha about how Sicha B'Teila is similar to that. The point is, there never was any Inyan of Chulin that he was engaged in. I think there's another Knech also. The Rambam writes in his Akdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos with tremendous hispilus that the Mishnah was written by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who was a phenomenal man, Talmud Chacham, and didactic mitzvahs, and you know, the Rambam is very extols him, and the Rambam says that his knowledge of language was extraordinary. And it's one of his primary abilities that made him royal for that is his knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh. And he says, the right that is, that it says that when people didn't know what a word meant, they asked Ams the Rab, that Rabbeinu HaKodesh is Shifcha. In other words, Rabbeinu HaKodesh was such a big grammarian or linguist that even his Amma, his Shifcha, was also fluent in it. So it's not just a question of poetic beauty or great vocabulary. He was able best to express in Dibur things that had been much more vague. The writing down of the Mishnah required a feat of taking things that were Torah Sheba'al Peh and bringing it to Torah Sheba'al Peh of some sort, requires a concretizing things in words that would carry on. When I explain something orally to you, I'll never explain it twice the same way. And if I feel that you're not quite getting the mechuvin, I will sort of shift it a little bit, the explanation. But when it's written, it's written, it's written. It's frozen, it's solid, that's it. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh's godless was this absolute command of language and so on. The Rambam, as a matter of fact, when the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, he writes that he's going to write the Sefer using Lashon HaMishnah, which is, in fact, it is, because Biblical Hebrew is not developed enough to be able to be used in a Halacha Sefer. It also, you know, it's not a Halacha Sefer, so you'd have to put it in a very different configuration. You have to put it in a different frame of words. Gemara is very verbose, and it's also a mixture of a lot of languages, and that's also not suitable. It's deficient in precision and in choosing words. So the Lashon HaMishnah is the Lashon of the Rambam as being perfect. And you know, it's the language of a person bringing out divrei Torah, divrei Chachma into words. Yes.
Also on the other side, maybe would do anything to get a pirush of a word, right?
Yes. Well, over there, it's a pirush of a word.
The mevaza himself, he'd do anything, even though he was a brave man. He'd like do a dance, as a gemara, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he would do. He says, "I forget to the world, but he said, I'll dance in front of you if you'll explain to me."
That's also okay. That's a bikush emes and so on. Correct.
But that's also maybe because his whole thing is to be moitzi something perfectly the pearl, so he had to know what everything meant exactly, so he could write it down, or he had to understand it correctly, so he could write it down correctly or something. I don't know.
Yes, I mean, everything about him, the Rambam writes extraordinarily, with extraordinary sweeping compliments, that this, he was the person who was roy for that. החלק הרביעי הוא הנהב, הוא הדיבו בשווח המיילס הסיכליס או מיילס המידס, ובגנוס הפחיסוס משתיים מינים יחד, להויר הנפש בסיפורים ובשירים, ולמונן הפחיסוס בדרוכמים בעצמם, וכן לשבח החשובים ולהוירס מלוסיהם, די שייטיבו מנהגיהם בינם לאודם ולכם דרכיהם, ולגן להסורויים בפחיסוסם, די שיסגנו פולוסם וזיכרם בינם לאודם ולסחמם ולהסנגו מנהגיהם. וזה החלק הרצון אליהם על לימוד המידס המיילס הישרחיק מהמידס הפחיסוס נקטר חרץ. So, this fourth category is fascinating. And let's take an example. If somebody comes and says, is it appropriate to cheat on an exam, let's say. And I would think about it, let's say, and I would say no. So it doesn't require more than no. So now you know that it's not appropriate. But that will not deter all that many people from doing what they shouldn't do. So I sit and I talk to the person. I say, you know, there's a branch of the world. There's a Yom HaDin. A person's maisim are going to come, and he's going to realize that many things that he thought that he accomplished are not because it wasn't honestly done, and it's so on and so forth. And I'll talk a lot about it. It's not that I'm adding a terrible amount of information that the person didn't know, like the Ramchal says, but Dibur itself has a koach to help me actualize things and prompt me to do things more than simply yidia. So by telling him it's usur, he has the idea. He's already learned a while back that there's a Bnei Shalom. He's also learned that there's Yom HaDin and also this. So presto, if it was a computer that was fitting information in, with that would be over. Computer would say no, and that's it. But it's a person, not a computer. And a person needs to be nimshach with diburim. And when you speak divrei piyusim or divrei teichach or divrei something, the koach of the dibur itself, just like dibur is able to take a machshav and express it in a tangible form, it's able to take machshavos and to be the tool to prompt a person to action. So yes and no on themselves do not really prompt a person to action, but when there's a lot of diburim with it, appropriate diburim, they do prompt a person to action. So diburim in the sense that they bring a person to do good, keep a person away from doing bad, is actually very positive. And finally, chelik hachamishi, which is the chelik that's muta, is dibur b'mashem yuchad me'adam mischeirosu panasosu macholoi mishto levusha shama shetzorachloi. V'muta in abu emas, you know, things that you need. Ame yirtzei dabu b'mashem yirtzei m'yirtzei lo yidabu. U'bozeh chelik yishu b'chodim kashimai et hadiburim. V'yishiru anshe musa Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions?
I just asked about the third category.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, let's say, how something is built, or how a person, you know, let's say, a history about a certain kingdom.
Right.
I'm assuming that's only. That's only if it's just because you just want to gossip or you just
correct
chatter. But if you're actually interested in chachma, learning, you could learn history or you could study economics.
Yes. But if if the history focuses on the quote unquote the human interest, what garment did he wear and this and that? Of course, in understanding how people have acted in societies and what drove them to success and to failure and so on, that's chachma, and that certainly would be appropriate. But people it's like a newspaper, when a gossip column of sorts. What was Obama wearing and what was his wife wearing and and this and that? That belongs to that category.
Right. So it's a sensitivity of what's considered, what's true chachma and what's just
true
tabloid, just interest.
Yes. Okay, take care. Good Shabbos. Bye.